Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
That is Taylor Swift that John wanted to talk about.
Oh, yeah, I know. Yeah, blame this one on me.
It is. This is all you. I had seen the story.
Oh, it irritates me.
Was never going to suggest we talk about it, but I will happily do so if you want to.
This bugs me so much. Yes, and I'll get into why it bugs me so much here in a minute. By the way, our phones are back working again, so if you want to call in, you can now. 913-586-7798, or keep hitting us up on the text line, whatever you want. I started to see these things a day or two ago, and then all of a sudden, there was like one article in the New York Post, which it's the New York Post, right? Uh-huh. And then all of a sudden, it was like the floodgates open, and there were 12 different versions of this story about how much money Travis Kelce is spending on his romance with Taylor Swift.
The headline out of the New York Post was Travis Kelce is in his splurge era. Making a couple of points, and I've seen all the stories too. One is that in dating such a mega, mega, mega star like her, who has 15 houses, I don't know what she's got.
Sure.
But that requires a certain level of luxury to be dating somebody who is used to that kind of luxury. One of the bigger points being made is that dating such a mega, 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 mega star requires a certain level of privacy. Hence the new house, hence the extra staff and that kind of thing. And that costs money.
Yeah.
And the world is weeping for Travis Kelce that it's costing him so much.
Isn't anybody going to help that poor man who earns $57 million over the course of his contract? I think Travis is fine. And look, you're right. The travel had a lot to do with it. But the thing is, they go through a lot of, well, reports say, or we asked this guy how much this would cost, and he said, well, there's a lot of variables involved in that, but here's around what you might want to spend on that kind of travel or that kind of, bauble or that kind of whatever. So they're guessing at a lot of it. And the other thing that we don't know, because we don't know what their finances are like or what they've chosen to done with them is to do with them, pardon me, not done with them, like you said, words are hard, is who's paying for what?
Yeah, don't assume he's paying for everything.
Sure. So,
because she's a billionaire now.
And the other thing is, it's his money.
Yeah.
If he wants to go out and spend $8 million on Taylor Swift, it's his money. He can pay for, he can buy whatever he wants. He's a big boy. He's a grown up. I'm pretty sure he knows how money works. And if I were a single dude and earning $57 million, I'd probably spend a lot on my girlfriend.
Yeah, think about in a normal relationship, like, I don't know what the scale is, but think about in early days of dating. I mean, they've been together for a while now, but just think about, like, dating is expensive anyway, for men and for women.
Yep.
I mean, because at some point you both pay. At this age in my life, I pay evenly because I just feel like that's fair. women maybe spend more on clothes and getting ready for things. You know, you dating is expensive in general. She can swing it, believe me.
And so can he.
And so can he. Yeah, there was a report that said he went to Singapore to be there for the last couple of concerts of that, of this leg of the tour, and did a private plane. I saw one report that said that cost $800,000. I have no idea what a private plane costs.
Nor do I.
Somebody else said $570,000. Over the weekend, they were in the Bahamas. They were on an island in the Bahamas at a $65,000 a night private something, something, something with a staff.
Sure.
Yeah, it's weird criticism, and I don't get the point.
Right. And that's the thing, is because they all say it. All of the articles seem to have the same kind of looking down their nose at him, going, how could you? Mm-hmm. She's a billionaire. How could you spend that kind of money on her? And it's like, OK, first of all, it's none of your business. I can understand. I don't like the fact that the paparazzi follows these people around. And I'm not talking about just Travis and Taylor. I'm talking about anybody famous. I don't like the fact that they're constantly badgered. But I get it, that it's this symbiotic relationship, that the more they show their faces, the more popular they become, the more people are interested in the story, and the more records they sell or whatever. So I kind of get that. And if you want to run the stories of, you know, Travis was seen out with Taylor Swift at the hotspot in L.A., okay, fine. You know, show a couple of pictures, and now we know what it's like to party like, you know, rich people do. But getting this far into looking down your nose at somebody for spending a lot of money on his girlfriend, like you said, what's the point? He shouldn't spend his money?
Yeah, sorry. The tone of it to me feels like poor Travis. Because you're dating such a big star.
Yes.
And she makes so much more money than he. I mean, he's doing pretty well, but she makes stupid money. Poor Travis, who fell in love with this really even bigger star than him, who makes even more money than he does. Poor Travis, who has to spend all of this money because she's Taylor Swift.
Yeah. Well, and consider how this is worded, just this one little piece of it, because they do talk about the house in Leawood. This is out of the New York Post article. Insiders dished last year that after hooking up with Swift, Kelce felt self-conscious about his humble 7-bedroom abode purchased for $995,000 in 2019. So he went out and bought the $6 million, 17,000 square foot mansion. Like, he thought that she was going to leave him. I mean, come on. The last thing I do in cases like this is listen to the New York Post's insiders.
I mean, we have no idea why he bought the house. I assume
probably
the reason
security
is privacy. Yeah, it's security, because in Briarcliff. Now, granted, before he started dating Taylor Swift, nobody cared where he lived. I had no idea where he lived until then. But once he started dating Taylor Swift, people were going to his house to see them and to see her. And it wasn't private and secure because it didn't need to be.
But
he needed to get a $6 million house, which is nothing, by the way. I mean, in the grand scheme, because it's in a gated neighborhood.
Right. Yeah. And the idea that he was somehow embarrassed by it, that he thought Taylor wouldn't go out with him anymore if he had such a crumbly little house. It's like, come on. I know people need something to talk about, but this, how much he's spending on the relationship is, like I said, they don't even know. It's not like they have a seats. They're guessing at all of it. They're guessing at who's paying for what and acting like somehow, you know, Taylor Swift is going to wreck him, that, you know, she's going to drive him into the poorhouse. Now, I think Travis is going to be okay.
All right. Colin tells me Travis made $164,000 just for winning the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that's right. That was his game check for the Super Bowl. Yep.
Yep. And then he has career earnings of $76.9 million. He is the fourth highest paid tight end in the NFL. And it will continue to get bonuses. And he has admitted he thinks he's underpaid for that position.
Sure.
Well, I agree. But he's come out and said, but I'm on a winning team. And I, you know, it's great to make a lot of money, but it's better to be on a winning team.
How much do you think Travis Kelce makes on commercial endorsements?
Especially since dating Taylor Swift.
Millions.
Yeah.
Millions. I mean, think about all the commercials that he's on with Patrick Mahomes,
yes,
that the two of them do together. and now all of the ones that he's on his own. That's a boatload of cash. I mean, and that's something that we don't tend to think that much about, because we think about, you know, what the number is on the contract, because that's always a really big number. But there's, I mean, they easily pay millions of dollars for that level of celebrity endorsement. That money's crazy huge.
And he now has an agent and might be hosting Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader? And will no doubt, after football, could make more than he ever made in football.
Yeah.
Depending on the kind of jobs that he gets.
Easily. So, yeah, and I don't know, you know, is it because they just love hacking at Taylor Swift any way they can that now they're going to turn her into this money-sucking, you know, is that what it is, really?
Like, so if the argument is, if Taylor Swift wasn't so successful and made so much money and such a megastar, Travis Kelce wouldn't have to spend so much money dating her.
That poor man.
You poor baby. Yeah, I think they're all doing fine.
And keep in mind, Travis isn't complaining.
No. No, not at all.
Let's go to the phones. We'll see what Anna and Leewood's thinking about all this. Hi, Anna.
Hi.
What's happening?
Well, I've been a Swiftie for a long time, and I'm just so sick of hearing this stuff. It's ridiculous. Like, especially because Travis is so rich. Like, he has so much money. And for me, I'm like, at what point does money just become, like pointless? Like, he has a lot of money. She has a lot of money. At what point? Like, we can both buy private jets. Like, at what point does it just become, like, okay, we both have a crap ton of money that we can spend however we want.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, just probably insecure men who are jealous that he's dating Taylor Swift, but also, like, if they were in a relationship where the woman made more money, they would be like, oh, this is horrible. And I'm like, this man is dating Taylor Swift. Like,
yeah, I know.
He's not complaining.
But Anna,
he's happy.
Look what she's doing to him, though. I mean,
yeah, she is ruining him.
The poor guy.
Oh, glad you see it that way, Anna. Thank you. Thanks very much for the call. Good to hear from a Swiftie. Yeah, and is that who they're going after too? Is all of her fans to try to turn them? And you know what? Good luck, New York Post.
All right, Colin's finding all kinds of numbers. Gillette offered Travis $4 million a year to promote products.
That's one.
On top of his Nike, Pfizer, and Amazon deals. And we are forgetting some of them.
Uh-huh.
Because there are more than that.
Because he's involved now in the insurance commercials with
State Farm.
The State Farm commercials with Patrick Mahomes.
Patrick Mahomes.
And the Hy-Vee ads that they did.
Yep.
Was it Hy-Vee? Yeah, it was. That they did together last year. Now, that's not going to be that much money, but it's still going to be money.
Oh, and don't forget about the podcast.
Yeah.
And it's the highest rated podcast on Spotify.
Right.
In fact, it still was last week. They are making boatloads of cash off the podcast. And he's opening a restaurant with Patrick Mahomes, which we'll get to.
Yes. So,
and that's only what we know of so far.
And like I said, it's just so irritating. Because of all the things to go after somebody for, that piece of it is, why are you spending all your money? Well, because I bloody well have it. That's why.
It's because they're happy now. And you can't pick on them. You can't pick on them that she was going to ruin his career because he won the Super Bowl, or that she'd be a distraction because he won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
You can't pick on them that it was just going to be short-lived because now they're going on 9 months or however long it's been because it started last summer. Every other reason you wanted to pick on them for doesn't hold.
And
so this is it.
And Anna's right. It really does come off as jealousy. I don't know if it's jealousy so much about him dating Taylor Swift, although I think that's definitely a piece of it. But I think another piece of it is, you think the average journalist makes what Travis Kelce's making?
In my experience, no.
Yeah. So. And that's why it's all centered around, look at what he's wasting on dating Taylor Swift. And it's because you don't have it. That's why.
Yeah. We can go to Steven next up in Olathe.
Hey, Steven.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. You know, what I see with Travis Kelce is that he is a very flashy guy. You know, I remember him wearing the Louis Vuitton trench coat. He's got the flashy car. He's got the flashy house. And I remember like 4 years ago, him crying. The big news story was him crying about how it is that he wasn't able to deliver his friendship bracelet to Taylor Swift.
Taylor Swift, right.
And,
right.
You know, if he wastes his whole fortune chasing this down, then good for him.
Yep.
You know, I'm happy for him. But he knew what he was getting into, and I think that he bought every single cent of it.
100%. Yeah, go do what makes you happy. And if you can afford to do it, go do it.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Stephen.
Like, it's the first time a man has ever spent money on a girl before?
Yeah. What is this business? Look, I mean, we've all had times in our lives, some of us are still there, where you have to look at the checking account every single day. And getting back to what Anna was talking about, if you're lucky, there will come a time in your life when you don't have to do that anymore. And yes, it's very freeing. And I don't think Travis Kelce has ever sweated the rent. Not in a long time, anyway.
All right, we have to break. Ashley, hang on the line. We'll get to more of your comments next on KMBZ. NTSB is planning a media briefing at 1:30 p.m. our time, so about 10 minutes from right now. Jennifer Homendy, who is the NTSB chair, is set to tell us more what they've learned coming out of the Baltimore Bridge collapse. So we'll get to that here coming up. Wrapping up our conversation about how the world apparently feels bad for Travis Kelce about the cost of dating a megastar.
Yes. So apparently tears are being shed everywhere but in Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce's house. So let's go to Ashley in North KC and see what she's thinking about. Hi, Ashley.
Hi, guys. First and foremost, nobody knows what is happening between a couple except that couple. Stay out of it, people.
Yep.
Second of all, I think Travis worships the ground that woman walked on, and I think she worships the ground he walks on. And I really hope that everybody on this earth gets the experience of looking at their partner every day and going, man, I don't know how I got so lucky, but I'm glad I did.
It's kind of great,
Yeah, it's awesome. I do that every day with my husband. The people who are saying this are a bunch of joyless twits who need to go out and live their miserable lives and just deal with their own sadness. I'm so sorry that you have to feel that way, but leave everybody else alone. They seem really happy, and I'm happy for anybody that gets that kind of joy and finds that kind of partnership in their life, as we all should be.
I think you're 100% right, and I want to ask you both this because I want to know if it's just me. There's something about the fact that this is all centered around money that to me makes it so much more invasive.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Yeah.
100%. If he wants to send her 500 roses every single day, that's what he wants to do.
Yep.
Doesn't matter the cost of it. What matters is where it comes from. I've still got my husband and I's very first date. He made a little ring out of a straw wrapper. Just as a joke.
Aww.
And I still have it to this day. Cost nothing.
Right.
Yeah. But means the world to me. The focus of the money to me makes this even more disgusting. And that tells me where you look at in your own relationships.
Wow. Mm-hmm. I hadn't even thought about
well
that.
Said.
Yeah, well said, Ashley. Nicely done. Yeah, that, like I said, just getting involved in somebody else's finances seems like just such a violation to me. It's like, no, you don't belong there. That's not yours, and you shouldn't even ask.
Well, and keep in mind, if it matters, and I don't think it does, he pursued her.
Yeah.
It's a lovely part of the story, right? Because if you know Taylor Swift's dating history, forgive me for the fact that I know a little bit of it, she writes about it in songs, is that she never really had that. The last several relationships that she had, she said she felt like she was out of the public eye. You never saw them. She didn't feel like she could go in public and own it and just really enjoy it in public. And here's a big football star who pursued her. Now, I think the very beginning of their relationship was private, but since then, she relishes going to Chiefs games, and he's a public figure too.
Yeah.
And understands how she feels.
And if their relationship had never happened and he was just a single guy, you know, going out and hitting the town and partying and doing all of this stuff, and if he flew, you know, halfway around the world to Fiji for a 2-week vacation that cost $300,000, nobody would care. It might make the paper that he was in, Travis Kelce is enjoying the beach in Fiji, but it wouldn't be, look how much money he's spending.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the story would be, look at the girl he's with this week, and he'd be criticized for that.
Right. Yeah.
Look at how much money he's spending on this week's whatever. So I hope they had fun in the Bahamas.
Yeah, that's definitely.
All right, we're going to break. We will join the NTSB news conference coming up here shortly on KMBZ.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Back here on this Tuesday afternoon, now that I have it written in 13 places, we are awaiting a media briefing from the NTSB chair, Jennifer Homendy, to give us the latest detail about the Francis Scott Key Bridge that was hit and collapsed. Again, if you've missed some of the details of this, 1:30 Eastern time this morning it happened. It was a cargo ship that was headed from the harbor there to Sri Lanka. And barely, I mean, that bridge is right there, so it didn't get very far. And it had called in a mayday saying that it was having propulsion problems, meaning it didn't have the ability to steer. The video showed smoke coming out of the back of that ship. It also showed the ship having electrical problems. The power kept going on and off. And then it hit one of the big pillars, and in 8 seconds, that bridge came down.
Unbelievable. And just we're trying to get a hold of exactly what the sequence of events was that led up to. I mean, we know some of what led up to the crash, but what kind of distress that ship was in, because clearly it had lost power at least twice just in the few seconds, in the minute and a half or so before it hit the bridge. We're also waiting to get some of the details on what the damage was that was done. We know some cars went into the water. We don't really have a count on that yet, or how many people they may be looking for as missing at the moment. With the exception of the six workers that were working on the bridge, and we're still waiting to hear about any updates from them as well.
The bridge is 1.6 miles long, carried the Baltimore Beltway Interstate 695. How do you pronounce the name of this river? Patapsco?
Patapsco, yes.
Oh, it's just hard to say. Which goes to the port of Baltimore. It is a major hub for shipping on the East Coast. And that's... you have two major problems. One is that bridge now can't carry vehicle traffic. The other is that the bridge being half in the water blocks the port. So ships that are there can't get out, and ships that need to get in can't get in.
And that's not a small problem, because that bridge carried what was Interstate 695, which is that's the larger of the two beltways that goes around Baltimore. And as we heard from a caller who was a trucker earlier on in the show, that is the only route that big rigs are allowed to go. Now, he said some try to skate through on Interstate 95 or on 295, but on 695 is where they're supposed to go. That would lead them around the southeastern half of Baltimore, and then over the bridge, over the harbor, and then to point south. It would rejoin 695 south of the river. But if you can't go that way and you have to go 695 north, that takes you way far out of your way. And what are they going to do in the meantime about that kind of traffic to kind of alleviate? Because you don't necessarily want to make rush hour any worse by having big rigs there in the middle of all of that on I-95 or on 295. But I mean, to take that piece of it away is going to make navigating that area a lot more difficult for people that are trying to just get through.
As far as replacing the bridge, which first you got to clean up what's in the water, and that's going to take time. The governor said a little bit ago that is a long-term project to replace the bridge. 30,000 cars a day go over that bridge. So that's a big project. President Biden said about an hour ago that the federal government would take on the cost of replacing that bridge. I guess I was a little surprised to hear that, but basically, so we can get it done.
Yes.
We'll front the cost.
Right. And he made allusions to, if there is somebody else to blame for this, then we can go after the money later on. But we don't want to hold this up because it is such a major artery that they want this work done as fast as possible. But even then, and I'm sure that federal money is going to help. And the assurance that that federal money is going to be there will get the project underway fairly quickly. What it can't do is hurry up the design work, because that's going to take a tremendous amount. Now that this disaster has happened, they're going to go through the same thing that they went through after the Sunshine Skyway in Tampa that we mentioned earlier, after the bridge collapse in Mobile Bay years ago, where the Amtrak train ended up falling off and going into the water, which is...
And I-35 in Minneapolis.
And with the first two, those were also hits by a boat into the bridge that caused the problem. So how do you keep that from happening on whatever bridge is going to be there to replace the current I-695 Francis Scott Key Bridge?
Officials said there were six people still unaccounted for. The math works out, and I assume this is true. They initially said eight people were on the bridge at the time filling potholes. There were eight workers filling potholes at the time that this happened. Thankfully, because of the May Day, they were able to stop cars from going over the bridge because of that May Day, and things happened really quickly. So again, eight people were on the bridge at the time filling potholes. Two people were rescued. One declined medical treatment. The other was in critical condition. Six people were still unaccounted for. I believe this is about to start.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. Yeah, we'll join them as soon as they start talking. But of the vehicles that were on the bridge and went into the water, how many of those were related to those workers?
The water temperature was 47 degrees Fahrenheit, which is... Okay, here we go.
PSB Chair Jennifer Homendy, and that's H-O-M-E-N-D-Y, will make some remarks about today's accident and investigation, and we'll take your questions.
Thank you for joining us. My name is Jennifer Homendy, and I'm the chair of the National Transportation Safety Board. Normally, our investigator in charge, his name is Marcel Muise, M-U-I-S-E. His first name is M-A-R-C-E-L. Marcel Muise is our investigator in charge for this investigation, but just given it on scene today, it's very early. I've asked that he remain at the command post to continue what he is doing so that I can brief you on what we're doing so far. Also with me is one of our newest board members. This is Alvin Brown, this is his training launch. So the NTSB arrived on scene at 6 a.m. To investigate an accident involving a Singapore registered vessel with the name Dali, D-A-L-I, which made contact with the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore, Maryland at around 1:30 a.m. this morning. The vessel is 985 feet long. It's a 95,000 gross ton container ship. I've seen information about crew members on board. We still need to verify the numbers of crew on board and their status. Under our memorandum of understanding with the Coast Guard, the NTSB is leading this investigation. The Coast Guard will support this investigation. Our memorandum of understanding, for example, provides for when an accident involves another mode of transportation and other factors, the NTSB will lead that investigation. Now, I want to thank the U.S. Coast Guard. We have a very cooperative relationship with the U.S. Coast Guard. I particularly want to thank Deputy Commandant for Operations, Vice Admiral Gauthier. I want to thank Admiral Gilbreth, who's commander of the 5th Coast Guard District, and Captain O'Connell, who's the sector commander. Before I go on behalf of the NTSB, I want to extend our deepest sympathies to those who have been affected by this significant event. The NTSB, as I mentioned, does many significant transportation events, not just aviation. We do accidents and incidents in marine safety as well, and of course with bridges and other highway infrastructure. And for this, there were many that were affected by this collapse, and our deepest sympathies go out to the families, loved ones, and others who have been affected. I'm going to get questions on fatalities and injuries, which I'm not going to answer. That is not something that the NTSB answers. I will refer you to local authorities on all of that information. What I can tell you is a search and rescue is still underway. So we are very hopeful, and again, our thoughts are with the families and their loved ones. Again, we got here at 6 a.m. And we are standing back to allow the Coast Guard and search and rescue to continue their search and rescue operations while we gather information from the command post. There is a lot of information that we can begin to collect. We have a team of 24 on scene, including Member Brown and me. The team of experts include experts in nautical operations, and what they're going to look at and begin to collect is information on vessel operations, safety history, safety record, they'll look at the owner, they'll look at the operator, and they'll look at the operations this day. Today, they will also look at company policy, any sort of safety management system or safety management program will be looked at by them, and our human performance team as well. We have a human performance expert here. We have an engineering team. We have survival factors, and then we have a team here that is getting the recorders. We also have a highway safety team, our team out of the Office of Highway Safety, including structural engineers, bridge experts who will be here and are continuing to come in. We have a few here, and one or two others are coming in the next few hours. We also have our family assistance team on site, and our family assistance team works with those that were affected by a particular event, families, friends, and other loved ones, and they will help them get in touch with the resources they need while also providing them with the information that they need as we move forward with our investigation. This is a team effort. There are a lot of entities right now in the command post, all focused on search and rescue as they should be. But I do want to in particular thank the Coast Guard, the Maryland Transportation Authority Police, the Federal Bureau of Investigations, the Baltimore Fire and Rescue, and the Maryland State Police. I also know that there are others on scene I'm sure I have missed. For example, Army Corps of Engineers is here. A great deal of expertise, and all focused on what is very important, which is the people first. I have been in contact with my counterpart in Singapore. Director Chong is the director of the Transport Safety Investigations Board. The NTSB maintains relationships with our counterparts in other countries often and stay in close communication. So the director and I have been in communication many times before on safety, so it was a good conversation. He is sending some personnel here tomorrow. Also, personnel will be arriving from the Maritime and Port Authority of Singapore, who has the focus of being the regulator in Singapore. Now, it's not a lot of information that I can share at this time, and I know there's a lot of information that seems to be circulating. The NTSB doesn't speculate. We provide facts. And so there isn't a lot we can share right now because the focus has been on the people. However, if you know me, I like to provide information as we can when we're able to verify those facts and be open about that. Transparency is one of our mandates, one of our core values. So please monitor NTSB.gov and X, where we will post when we were having another media briefing. We do have an organizational meeting tonight at 5 o'clock, which I mentioned, to determine where we want to go next on the investigation. But there's a lot of information we need to gather between now and then in the days and weeks that follow. So with that, I am going to take questions. I will call on you, please. State your name and your affiliation. We'll start with Tom and then go over here.
Thank you, Chair Helmandy. Tom Costello with NBC News. You spoke of one of the teams within this NTSB structure looking for specifically the reporters on board the ship. Can you speak to what type of reporters may be on board the ship and what do you hope that they, what information might they provide?
Yeah, at this time, I will have more information about the recorders tomorrow. We chose not to board the vessel today to allow some time for the search and recovery, which we did not want to interfere with. That is the first and foremost. We do have some information, but we need to verify that information first before I provide that information, before I verify it. So we'll have that information tomorrow or maybe later tonight if you want to check with me. Yes.
Sabina with ABC News. How long will the search go on for today?
The search is, it's a question on how long the search will go on today. The NTSB is not in charge of the search and rescue operation. That is the U.S. Coast Guard. So I would refer you to the Coast Guard for that information. Yep. Yeah, there's a question on the tugs and the timeline. Again, I know this is all information you're looking for. The information we get, which often happens in a large event where there are a lot of entities, is there is conflicting information. The NTSB focuses on the facts, so we will figure that out and be able to provide that information in the coming days. Today is far too early for that. Nothing on the timeline so far.
How critical will a Voyage Data Recorder be to investigating?
How critical will a Voyage Data Recorder be to investigating this? It will be critical. It's a critical piece of our investigation, which is why we have a recorders team here.
Have you been able to investigate or figure out why this ship did not immediately drop anchor when the power went out and they were on course to collide?
Again, that will be the question is on dropping anchor and whether they did or did not, and the timing on that. Again, that'll be part of our investigation and part of our timeline. I can provide you more information on that in the coming days, but not today.
Rina Bartwat, ANI. Just wanted to check, do you have any information on the crew that was on board, their nationality? Were there 22 Indians on board? Apparently, there's a report that says there were 22 Indians.
The question is who was on board the vessel and nationalities. I've heard conflicting information on that as well. We will have to get back to you on that.
Ma'am.
Yes.
Do you have any reason to believe there were major deficiencies with the vessel before it set sail? What are you learning from previous inspections?
The question is, were there any deficiencies on the vessel before it sailed, and will we be looking at any safety information? That's That is part of our investigation, where we look at in depth at safety information, anything that may have occurred prior to this, any sort of safety history with respect to the vessel, any sort of maintenance that was done to a vessel or a component on the ship. We will look at all of that, but it's much too early for all of that.
You spoke about the government assets that are here. Can you talk about the private sector folks that you're working with? Are there folks from Maersk? Are there folks from the insurance companies that you're in contact with now who are on the scene today?
The question is, who are we working with from the private sector folks? I mean, certainly we're working with the owner operators, which are two different entities for this vessel. We will be working with the pilot association, and we will have a number of federal, state, and local partners as party to the investigation. We are going to designate those tonight at the organizational briefing, and I'll have more information on that tomorrow.
Okay, we're going to take this back here. That was the head of the NTSB, Jennifer Homendy. We didn't learn a lot. Usually the most interesting part of things like this is the Q&A. The questions were interesting. We didn't get a lot out of her answers, but the questions that are being asked raise some good points.
Sure. And at this point, there's only so much she's going to be able to answer, because this is an investigation that started 12 hours ago, almost 13. So it's very early stages, as you heard her say many, many times during that question and answer period. But I think you're right when it comes to the fact that there is a voyage recorder, that they're going to be able to look and see what the ship itself has to tell them about what went wrong there. The fact that they're still not able to get everybody that was on board the ship to have reported in. They don't know what kind of damage was done to the ship itself or anybody who may have been on board. Now, that's normally not that big a crew, because it's a container ship. I mean, you can go with a kind of a skeleton crew. It's going to be
22, I thought I saw.
Yeah, it was going to say in the neighborhood of 20 people. So that's what you normally would see crewing a large container ship like that, because all the work is done by cranes. I mean, they're just only responsible for keeping the ship going in the right direction effectively. So, and supporting the crew. The question that was asked about dropping anchor.
Yeah.
Is one that I think is a fascinating one, considering, as you said before, we're talking about 50 feet of water. So could they have dropped anchor? And is that the kind of thing that if you're on the helm that you may not be able to do if the power goes out?
And I hope somebody asks her about the timeline of at what second did they issue the mayday? And how many seconds after that did they hit the bridge? I just wonder if it was a really tight timeline there. All of a sudden they lose power. All of a sudden they lose propulsion. All of a sudden they have a fire. Power goes out.
Steering.
Would they have had time to put an anchor down far enough ahead that it wouldn't have hit the bridge?
Yeah, because even if there is the possibility that you have some kind of mechanism in the front of that ship to be able to drop anchor without having any power, that doesn't necessarily mean that you can get somebody down there that fast.
Right. The question also about did the ship have any mechanical problems before it left? Like, what's the maintenance record before it pulled out of port will be interesting, because they need to figure out why this happened. Why did the ship lose propulsion in the first place?
Yes. What was the smoke all about? What was the loss of power all about? What happened there? And as somebody had brought up on the text line a little while ago, it's a fairly common practice. And this happened with the Exxon Valdez, which, by the way, the 40th anniversary of that was just a couple of days ago. And with several other shipping disasters that were near port, it's not unusual for them to have two different pilots, that you'll have a pilot who only stays there at that port because he knows, or he or she, that they would know every little bit of the channels and all of the hazards that are out there. So they get it out into deep ocean water, and then they switch to the guy who takes it the rest of the way.
Right. Somebody on Twitter just pointed out Minnesota, when the I-35 westbound bridge collapsed, it took them a year to rebuild that bridge. Pennsylvania rebuilt the Fern Hollow Bridge also in about a year. That was in 2022. So a year is reasonable and to think is how long you're going to, it's going to take.
Right. And in the meantime, how quickly can they get that superstructure out of the way so that they can resume shipping traffic, even if they're not allowed or not able to, not allowed, but not able to get truck and car traffic back on 635.
Fascinating story that we'll continue to follow closely. Surely have the latest updates tomorrow. And we'll do that. We'll turn this over to Dana Parks. Be back tomorrow here on KMBZ.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.